unstable and tolerant democracies of Sweden, Germany, and the Netherlands, extremists are celebrating unprecedented successes. There can no longer be any doubt that we are going through a populist moment. The question now is whether this populist moment will turn into a populist age and cast the very survival of liberal democracy in doubt. After the fall of the Soviet Union, liberal democracy became the dominant regime form around the world. It seemed immutable in North America and Western Europe, and quickly took root in formerly autocratic countries from Eastern Europe to South America, and was making rapid inroads across Asia and Africa. One reason for liberal democracy's triumph is that there was no coherent alternative to it. Communism had failed. Islamic theocracy had precious little support outside the Middle East. China's unique system of state capitalism under the banner of communism could hardly be emulated by countries that didn't share its unusual history. The future, it seemed, belonged to liberal democracy. The idea that democracy was sure to triumph has come to be associated with the work of Francis Fukuyama. In a sensational essay published in the late 1980s, Fukuyama argued that the conclusion of the Cold War would lead to the end point of mankind's ideological evolution and the universalization of Western liberal democracy as the final form of human government. Democracy's triumph, he proclaimed in a phrase that has come to encapsulate the heady optimism of 1989, would mark the end of history. If plenty of critics took Fukuyama to task for his supposed naivete, some argued that the spread of liberal democracy was far from inevitable, fearing or hoping that many countries would prove resistant to this Western import. Others argued that it was too early to foresee what kind of improvement human ingenuity might be able to dream up over the course of the coming centuries. Perhaps, they ventured, liberal democracy was just a prelude to a more just and enlightened form of rule. Despite the vociferous criticism, Fukuyama's core assumption proved highly influential. Most of the people who warned that liberal democracy might not triumph around the world were just as sure that it would remain stable in the democratic heartlands of North America and Western Europe. Indeed, even most political scientists, far too careful to make sweeping proclamations about the end of history, reached much the same conclusion. Democracies in poor countries, they observed, often failed. Autocrats were regularly ousted from power even when they could offer their subjects a good standard of living, but once a country was both affluent and democratic, it proved incredibly stable. Argentina had experienced a military coup in 1975, when its gross domestic product per capita was about $14,000 in today's currency. Above that threshold, no established democracy had ever collapsed. Awed by the unparalleled stability of Western democracies, political scientists began to conceive of the post-war history of many countries as a process of democratic consolidation. To sustain a durable democracy, a country had to attain a high level of wealth and education. It had to build a vibrant civil society and ensure the neutrality of key state institutions like the judiciary. Major political forces had to accept that they should let voters, rather than the might of their arms or the thickness of their wallets, determine political outcomes. All of these goals frequently proved elusive. Building a democracy was no easy task, but the prize that beckoned was both precious and perennial. Once the key benchmarks of democracy were attained, the political system would be stable forevermore. Democratic consolidation on this vision was a one-way street. Once democracy had, in the famous phrase of Juan J. Linz and Alfred Stepan, become the only game in town, it was there to stay. So confident were political scientists in this assumption that few considered the conditions under which democratic consolidation might risk running in reverse, but recent events call this democratic self-confidence into question. A quarter century ago, most citizens of liberal democracies were very satisfied with their governments and gave high approval ratings to their institutions. Now they are more disillusioned than they have ever been. A quarter century ago, most citizens were proud to live in a liberal democracy and strongly rejected authoritarian alternatives to their system of government. Now many are growing increasingly hostile to democracy. And a quarter century ago, political adversaries were united in their shared respect for basic democratic rules and norms. Now, candidates who violate the most basic norms of liberal democracy have gained great power and influence.